Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live. This is a show about love letters and the almost infinite variety they seem to take. And I know that today we're in for something, again, really different. So I'm going to go right to our guest, Melanie Mayer, who, by my good luck, has been a friend since, I don't know, about 35 years, I would say.
Probably that long.
That long.
We met as babies.
We met as babies when our children were babies. And, Melanie, you're an amazing person. I wish I could just sit and talk about you for a while, but I know we don't have that kind of time.
Oh, please.
And I don't think you have the patience for it, judging from... But let's talk about your story. Why don't you just start right in with the story that you're going to tell us that's going to lead to this love letter?
Well, this love letter took about 45 years to write. And it started when I was on a trip to Europe. It was my very first time. I traveled with a group of college students. I was at Berkeley. And the trip included Poland. And my grandfather was born in Poland. And he gave me his address where he had lived. And he hadn't been back in a while. He stopped going to Poland, obviously, before the war started. And when he got out as much of his family as he could. But I was going, and he wanted me to see if I could find his street and his house. And I was all excited about this trip and actually kept a diary of it with me all through the years. And I've been writing...
What do you mean kept a diary with you all through the years?
I kept a diary of this trip. When I was on the trip, I wrote every day in a diary. And while I've lost other things from that time in college, this is something that I saved. And actually, from time to time, I would haul it out and just look at it because we forget sometimes who we are when we're young.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get older, things happen along the way. And I started to write poetry, and I was taking a particular class, and we were looking at Polish poets in this class. And I'm very drawn to the Polish poets. Their poetry and my poetry is not dissimilar. And reading these poets made me think about that trip and my experience in Warsaw, because that was the stop that we made in Poland. And from having to write a poem, because this was a weekend class, I ended up writing a poem that was really a letter.
Now, what stage was this weekend class? How old were you?
Oh, this was just recently. This was probably maybe a year and a half.
Oh, so that's why you're saying it took...
Yes. Okay. So that's why I say it took almost 45 years to write. And all the experiences came flooding back, and of course I had my diary to check and see if I remembered correctly, and I also have a friend who was with me on that trip, so I remember emailing her and asking her what she remembered, and just so I could check myself.
What did you remember? Can you just tell us about the trip? And
do you want to know about the trip to into Poland?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a very interesting trip because, for one thing, to get there, we came out through Russia, and you had to go through Czechoslovakia. And we didn't have visas for Czechoslovakia because we were on the train, and it was a night train, and we were just supposed to wake up in Poland the next morning and the train station in Warsaw. But, of course, the Czechs at the time stopped the train and wanted some money, because otherwise they said they were going to pull us all off, all of the 20 kids that were traveling together. And
this
two,
they could say in English.
Right. And, of course, they wanted money, and we didn't
have
visas.
Because they wanted money.
Because they wanted money. And that was the whole thing. And I remember this was kind of my introduction to Poland, and the guards going through the trains and knocking on the doors.
Were you frightened?
No, actually, we weren't frightened at all. We thought it was kind of funny, and we had rollers in our hair because I don't know if you remember, any of you who are listening, in those days in the 60s, you put rollers in your hair every night. And so even though we were on a train in the middle of these countries, we did our hair. And the look on the guards' faces,
oh my,
when they saw us, we were in bunk beds with these rollers in our hairs.
Must have been horrifying.
Well,
like space aliens
it
or
was,
something.
Yes, they were like... It was sort of like that scene from, is it E.T. when the...
Uh-huh. Open the closet
she
door.
She opens the closet door and they see one another. It was really very amusing. And then we went to Warsaw the next day. The other thing that we had done was we had smuggled in some things for... I traveled with a girlfriend and her mother had a friend whose relatives were still in Poland and in Warsaw. And so we took things in our suitcases that just looked like clothes and something it could have been ours, you take on a trip. But they were going to this family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remembered that also. And the adventure started when we dropped the clothes off to the family, and there was a young man in the family who was a college student, and he had a friend, and we linked up with them, and we ended up having a really interesting, fun adventure. To me at the time, it was an adventure. I think the reason that I ended up writing this letter is that I didn't appreciate being as young as I was and being an American. Really what the war meant.
This was still behind the Iron Curtain,
this
right?
Yes.
This is why you were taking these things.
They did not let things in, right. Especially from America.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't be subversive. We were followed. It was a very interesting trip when we were in Russia. We were followed everywhere we went and had to travel with someone from...
You were aware of that?
Yes.
Were they aware that you knew that they were following you?
Was
it just some kind of game?
I don't think so, but we also had a guide with us. They bugged your rooms and, you know, someone else made me aware of it. I was unconscious. I was a very unconscious, naive, sheltered 18-year-old when I went on this trip. So for me, it was a real eye-opener. But again, I didn't appreciate it, I think, until I sat down and started to write this poem.
Last year.
Yes. Yes. So it brought back all the memories of my grandfather, and, you know, it just, it was a really great experience for me.
Now, your grandfather left Poland before World War II.
Yes, he left actually in 1915 and came to the United States.
Oh, so long before. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yes, but his whole family stayed. He was like the black sheep.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Who left early, and he was the only one that came. He had cousins in San Francisco, and that's how he got to San Francisco from New York.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I remember his stories. He worked in a hat factory for like 50 cents a week. In New York, and saved up his money so he could take the bus or the train or I don't remember which, mm-hmm. to come out to California and link up with his cousins in San Francisco.
And so then what did he do when he came here?
Oh, he did lots of different things. Ultimately, he became a sack salesman, and he sold flour sacks from the back of his truck.
So interesting, the things that make the world go round.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and ended up doing very well for himself, for a man with no form, you know, certainly no education in the United States. And I think he left before he graduated from high school in Poland.
By himself.
Yes.
You
all
wonder
by
how people do that. With
all him. By himself. Well, it just showed you the kind of character that he had, and someone that could up and do that at age 16 or barely 17.
Yes. Strength and wits and character and fearlessness.
Fearlessness. Mm-hmm. He was fearless.
Yes. Because at 16, you feel kind of bulletproof anyway.
I suppose that's true.
Mm-hmm. This is just a reminder to our listeners. This is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time. We have guests who tell their stories and talk about letters they have written or would love to write.
So let's get back to your love letters. So this sat with you for 45 years, and you had the diary.
I had the diary.
And so at some point you sat down and you translated this into a piece of writing. Will you tell us about it? And
Oh, it just ended up being a letter to the young man that I spent time with in Warsaw. We didn't have very long in Warsaw. We had like 48 hours.
And you remember his name?
I don't remember his name.
Oh.
No, you'll see when I read the letter.
Okay. So why don't you just read it?
Okay. Dear young man, July 10th, 1963. I lean out the window to you. We are laughing, talking, those minutes before the train leaves. You kiss my hand like something from an old movie. I love this gesture, and in the moment, you. Today, reading Polish poets, I remember arriving that warm, sunny day. You, Warsaw, the ruins, the rebuilding, glimpses of grandeur. I have grandfather's address, but his street is gone. We go to the ghetto. Nothing is left. There are new apartments, and embedded in concrete, a small plaque. For your family, three cramped rooms. How frail your father seems. He speaks softly while we drink tea. Your mother serves cake, and no one smiles. We ride your motorbike, follow a narrow road into the green countryside. There are cows, tinkling bells, the sweet smell of grass. I picture the Wizard of Oz. We arrive at a summer palace, but it's Fidel Castro and entourage strolling in the gardens. Dear young man, do you remember that naive, self-absorbed American girl? I ask for your forgiveness and hope you are well. I, of course, don't even know if he's still alive.
Oh, that is so lovely. Can I just, may I just say that this is a poem that is included in this book. This is your latest book?
It is.
Of poetry called Sticking to Earth. And I'm just wondering, you know, we always say that a love letter can be many things. It can be a beautiful essay or poem or piece of writing, but it's not really a love letter until it's mailed. And you have a problem with mailing it. Where would you send it? And
actually,
what do you think about this? What can you do?
I actually thought about it, and of course, because I was coming on the program, one of the things that I did was go online and see if there were any newspapers that maybe I could send this letter to that were in that had their circulation in Warsaw or, you know, in Poland itself. And found two newspapers. I don't have the paper with me that sounded like they would be a good place to send this letter. So I'm definitely planning to send
good.
It.
Oh, good. Okay. That's really exciting.
So yeah.
They'll publish it and will they put your name on it? So?
We'll see. I mean, I don't really have a way of knowing, I think. I do have an email address. So
for what?
For the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
So I will email before I send it off. And we'll see if I get a response. I think I've decided in any event I'm just going to send it.
Yes, because, you know, you're saying email it before you send it off. But, I mean, the romantic side of me, and I know you share this, and I know Teresa does too, is, you know, it's like a message in a bottle. Why not just, in your handwriting, send it and see what happens?
I think in this instance they'll be more likely to use something that's emailed.
I know, but just for the joy of having it also, like in
right.
case you get some cooperative soul who says, I know him.
Yes, or I mean, that would be...
You have an address
of
where the house was. Where you,
I don't have an address of where the house was. No, no.
So
I don't remember the name.
What would identify this young man?
This young man would have to remember kissing
have
to remember kissing my hand at the train station all those years ago. And if it didn't make as much an impression on him as it did on me, then...
Or if he kissed the hands of many girls.
That's right. Exactly. I may just have been one of many.
That doesn't mean he wouldn't remember. Okay, that's really nice. So the sending is the sending. It doesn't matter what happens after. It's still a love letter that you've sent.
And I've actually never had anyone else kiss my hand until very recently when an elderly man at a party where I was, in this gesture, somebody born in Europe, took my hand that I know him very well, and, you know, just kissed it.
That is a nice gesture.
And I thought, oh... This is. It's a nice gesture that has totally not in fashion and hasn't been for a very long time.
In the United States.
In the United States.
Now, I travel frequently to Turkey, and if you go to a nice restaurant, they always say goodbye to you. The proprietor, the waiters, whatever, they will never let you go without saying a proper goodbye to you. And often you will have a kiss on, the ladies will get a kiss on the hand.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right. I never got that in Turkey. So you were very special indeed.
So I have a question about your memories. So that just really interests me. At some point you went from being that self-absorbed, naive 18-year-old, and by the way, I mean, I was also, and I think that probably was not an unusual American response.
Oh, no.
Of the time.
No.
I mean, we don't really have neighbors so close as other countries do. You know, we have an ocean on one side and the rest of the country on the other, and
we're just
used to ourselves.
Until 2001, we were totally protected and really only heard secondhand what that experience was like, having something like that happen on your soil.
On your own ground.
On your own ground.
So at what point did you wake up and say, oh, my goodness?
Oh, it wasn't really until I wrote this letter where
And because you were asked to think about it.
No, it was just reading the Polish poets, and I had to write a poem, and this is what evolved. The poem.
So it wasn't just a moment where you say, oh, my goodness, I missed something here.
No, I did not know I missed anything until I started to write this poem.
So beyond what you wrote in this beautiful piece, what is it you saw when you talk about serving cake and not smiling, the way they lived?
Oh, I think the repression was enormous. The fact that we had to smuggle in these things for them, that they had so little, and I didn't realize the extent of the repression.
And the toll it takes on the spirit.
Plus, these people had lived through the war. It wasn't really that long after the war.
Right.
And I don't think the father was well.
Not recovered from one when you're hit with the other.
Well, the bombardments are over. Mm-hmm. But emotionally, the war, I don't think, had ended. Because you're still, and perhaps, and even more so, I don't think people in Poland, during the war, they might have felt repressed, but before that, it was a free society, thriving, wonderful, artistic
literary,
society.
Intellectual,
as Czechoslovakia was.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, this, you get over one war just to be subverted by emotional repression.
And by the way, I mean, that's such a lesson to stay on your toes, because how quickly that can happen when you're not watching.
Yes.
How quickly those freedoms can just be snatched.
And I didn't think to ask. There's so many questions now I would love to have asked that family and actually that young man. And we just did trivia. I mean, and maybe that was the best thing.
For him.
For
relief.
Him. Maybe for him that was just a total gift. I have no way of knowing.
So you're going to have to write a letter with this poem that you send. You're going to have to say something to the newspaper. What will you say? That's going to be an important part of this letter.
Actually, yeah, I would guess I'd say this is a young man whose name I can't remember, whose address I don't remember, and I would love to know that he's okay, and I'd like to know what happened to him, and what did he go on to do if he's still alive.
But will you specify how you want them to help?
Oh, I haven't even thought about that.
But that's going to be important, right? I mean, can you help me by publishing something?
Well, certainly I'll ask him to publish. That's why I'm asking them to publish the letter.
In hopes that he'll find this and come forward in finding me.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
I mean, or maybe his friend who will remember the story. Who
right,
was,
or maybe
who
he
was
down
there.
The street from you now in San Rafael.
I mean,
you don't know what you're going to find.
You know, Melody, if I can change the subject a little
Certainly.
Bit. It's not changing the subject, but I'm in awe of poets and how they come up with the beautiful things that they do. Do you know what your process is? Is this something that you've always done, or is this something that you learned, or how did you become a poet?
I really just started taking a writing class. I was practicing law, and then I went into real estate, and it was very business oriented. I decided that I wanted to do something artistic, so I started to take an art appreciation class. And then I said to myself, well, I never can draw. I have no talent that way, but I need to do something artistic. And a friend of mine who was writing poetry said, this class is being given at Book Passages in Marin. You really should think about going. And I did, and I'm actually very good friends with the woman who taught that class. Her name is Margaret Kaufman, and she's a pretty well-known very well-known poet in the Bay Area, and I would dare say known also throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. And it really changed my life.
So she not only is a fine poet in her own right, but she knows how to teach others?
She does. She knows how to be encouraging and to let you do whatever, and no matter what it is you write, she's encouraging about it, which especially in the beginning you need.
But also she apparently awakens something that you do well. I mean, right? This didn't come onto a blank tablet. You're very, very beautiful at this. So this is something that was residing in you that you didn't know about?
I guess so. I've always liked to write.
Okay.
But I've never written poetry before.
And you've written a lot now.
I have. I've been writing poetry now for the last 18 years or so.
If people want any of these books, they can do what?
They can just Google me, melaniemayer.com, and that will take them to my website. And yes, and it will have the book.
You.
It will give. It will have a few poems.
They're beautiful.
Melanie, can you spell that? Because there's different ways to spell Mayer.
Oh, certainly. It's Melanie, and Mayer is Mayer.com.
Okay. Melanie Mayer. All one clump, as you
or know. I think, or just Melanie Mayer with a space.
Okay.
I forget. You know, it's funny. I've Googled it.
Oh, if you Google it,
yes.
It'll take you to that. But if you want to go right to your website.
Well, I've only gone to my website through Googling myself.
Okay.
So.
Oh, all right. And if all else fails, listeners, you can just email us at loveletterslive.com. You can go to our website and contact us, and we'll forward it to Melanie.
I can't help but think how writing the poetry that you do and choosing the right words is something like writing a love letter.
Yeah.
Janet, if you just run through briefly for people who have never written a love letter, what's the process?
I like to go into a room by myself. You can't be distracted when you're writing this, right, Melanie?
Right.
You can't have the television on in the background. You can't have somebody who's about to telephone you. You can't be waiting for something to come out of the oven. You have to be really isolated and enjoy the luxury of being alone with your own thoughts.
You have to be totally in the moment.
Yes. And just surrender to it. Just surrender and write down everything you can think of concerning this relationship, the person you want to write to, every memory, every feeling. And one will lead to another, and you'll probably end up having more than you want to use. But then you can go through it and see which things are relevant to your goal, to what you want to say.
That's very much like doing a poem.
Of course.
Because
of course.
We revise and revise.
Yes. And sometimes yet and sometimes no, but you want it to be the most authentic reflection of your emotional reality, right?
And to paint a picture.
Yes.
I mean,
well, I like to paint pictures with my poetry since I have no artistic ability. My mother actually was a wonderful artist. So
by artist, you're referring to painting.
Painting,
yes.
But your
she
selection
painted.
Of words, and I know Janet pulled the same thing out of that poem that you read that I did, Serving Cake Without Smiling.
Uh-huh.
That paints such a picture, and there's so much behind it.
Right.
Yes.
And by the way, you know, when in your poetry, you're taking tiny specifics. Your poems are an ongoing gift of specifics. It's right.
I mean, little moments. Yes,
that's what I mean.
Again,
right?
Yes.
It's you know, it's not just. I mean, we always say you're so special doesn't mean squat. you know, it doesn't help.
Well, that's you. Sort of. It's don't tell me, show me.
Yes. Yes.
So the process is put down everything that you can remember, what you're feeling, all of that, and
right.
Then take a look at it again and pull out the things that really convey your best thoughts.
Yes, and I mean, I think that's just a wonderful love letter. But that's not to say that a love letter that just says, I don't know really how to say this, but I love you so much. That counts also. I mean, it can be short. It can be a sentence long. Or it
oh,
can
yeah,
be paid.
I think, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's, you know, it's not like you have to make it huge and long. And if it's hard for you to get lost in the specifics, for a long time. You can do 6 short letters and mail them over a period of 2 years. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. And then...
The gift is that you remember.
The gift is that you remember that you write it in your own hand.
Oh, yes. I think so. And you know, and whenever you see something in the news about letters that were found, usually what is said before anything else, it was in his own handwriting. It was in Jackie Robinson's own handwriting. It was in Roosevelt's own handwriting.
And unfortunately, with computers, email, we get away from that. I still love to write notes, and I still love to receive notes from people.
Both of those.
It is something very special.
Yes. When you see some beautiful little envelope winking up at you from that pile of garbage that is your mail for the day, it's just uplifting. Mm-hmm. And I think most people either rip into it right away or put it aside and save the best for the last.
Right. That's what I do.
I do too.
So then you put it on some lovely stationery or some appropriate stationery.
Yes, something that means you thought about the person receiving it, like the other person's favorite color. Or we had somebody on recently who burst into tears as she was recalling the stationery her mother wrote her a letter on when she was a difficult teenager.
Mm.
And
she's kept the letter.
She's kept the letter, and she was describing the stationery and started to just weep at the beauty of the stationery.
Mm-hmm.
And they make beautiful stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Stamps are just a joy. You go to the post office and just take a look, and flowers and hearts and dung beetles and birds and mm-hmm. owls and whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Scientists and athletes and historical people, something is going to start that love letter.
Mm-hmm. And then it's mailed so that the person who receives it has a chance to
absorb it
on their own.
Right. Yes. Different than a telephone call where if you say something to somebody, they kind of have to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair to call on somebody for a response that can't be given right away.
Right. Or even handed to someone.
Oh, if you do hand it to someone, disappear.
Yes, you need to.
Turn around and walk away. Because a love letter is private. It doesn't matter that you wrote it and you know what's in it. Reading a love letter is private, I think.
Well, this
just like this
wonderful.
Is, by the
yes.
way. You want to? Well, people do out loud poetry readings. I
yes.
personally like to curl up and read it privately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be an emotional experience,
uh-huh.
as it's intended, correct? Poetry?
Yes, but I think that it's good to read it to yourself, and it's also good to hear it out loud
yes.
because it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
The experiences are different.
Right.
Yes, and there are societies in which poetry is an out loud thing.
Yes.
A group, yeah.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much
yes,
for joining
you.
Us and sharing your beautiful poetry.
Thank you
story.
So much for
and
having
we
me.
We hope that you find this gentleman and that he remembers you. And if you get a
uh-huh.
response,
if you do,
please let us know.
Can we
know.
Be the third to know?
I'll definitely let you know.
Okay, because we like to share it with her. And the satisfaction yeah. of knowing that it led someplace would be thrilling.
That would be really exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. So to our listeners, please join us every week at this time, and you can also visit our website at www.loveletterslive.com. You can catch past programs that you may have missed. You can contact Janet and me, ask us questions, send us an example of a love letter that you'd like to have read.
And if you're local to the San Francisco Bay Area, you'd like to be a guest, please let us know. We'd like to talk to you about it.
Okay.
So please remember also, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is always a special occasion on its own.
Right. So please put your loving thoughts and words into a letter and send them while you still have the chance. And until next week, this is Teresa.
And Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.